Orlando, Florida. And this is the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention Teleseminars with Cal Banyan. And Cal Banyan is talking to us and Will is a guest with us tonight from Minneapolis, Minnesota. With the magic of these teleseminars, we're calling in from all parts, not only of America, but the world. I mean, it's amazing how many people are joining us these days for teleseminars, and we're happy to be able to provide this as an ongoing service of the NGH conventions. Cal Banyan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Very glad to be here. Thank you, Elsom. Thank you, NGH. You guys put on a very good show.
Well, thank you, sir. And we're so glad to have you here tonight. And, well, this five path, the powerful systematic approach to doing hypnotism and hypnotherapy, we need to share with the listeners on the call and those who call in later to listen to the audio exactly what five path, what it means, and not only what it means, but when hypnotists can use it, when it's appropriate to use. So let's start there.
Oh, you've stumbled across one of my favorite topics, five path. First of all, five path is one of those words made out of letters, and it means five phase abreactive therapeutic hypnosis. And it's a general approach, it's a systematic approach that a hypnotherapist can use for so many different things. It could be for stop smoking, weight loss, fears, phobias, removing bad habits, addictions, obstacles to success, stress, all these kinds of different things, even improving motivation, sports improvement, and then also working on even some more serious kinds of things like psychosomatic illness, stress-related illnesses, emotional component of pain, and even something that's very, very difficult to work with hypnosis, called secondary gain issues. And, of course, NGH members know we don't work on medical or psychological issues unless we're on the supervision, either we're licensed to do so or that we are working under the supervision of a psychiatrist, a doctor, or whatever. But with FivePath, we're able to bring a systematic approach to a wide variety of different issues, just about every issue that would walk in to the office. One of the things that struck me as a beginning hypnotherapist was, Elsom, I'm a pretty good student, and I went out there and I started studying all the masters from Charles Tebbets and Gil Boyne and Jerry Kine, and I was just studying all this stuff, and I had all these different techniques in my head, and then each time I had a client, I was like, my goodness, what should I use? Should I do direct suggestion, or should I do just visualization, or should I use parts therapy, or age regression, or forgiveness therapy? And then I read a book called The E-Myth, and The E-Myth by Gerber told me something that had nothing to do with hypnosis. It had to do with being successful in business. And he said, if you want to be successful in business, you need to put together a business system that will work like a franchise. Now, I had no intent to becoming a franchise, but what I liked is, as he talked about this systematic approach, the idea is to set a high standard that your clients can come in and expect to have fulfilled every time, and then you'll be able to deliver it every time. And so I took all these most powerful tools that are available to the hypnotist and began working them into a system of five phases. These five phases, then each phase prepares the client to be successful in the phases that follow. And just to wrap up your question, I know I'm talking fast, but I know this is going to be recorded, so I don't have to worry about if anyone can write it down. I want to give a lot of information out in this little bit of time. But five-phase abreactive therapeutic hypnosis. Phase one is going to be direct suggestion and convincer phase. This is where we are going to make sure of two things, that our client is in somnambulism, the perfect state of hypnosis to work in, and that they know that they're hypnotized. That can be such an important change in your clients if they know that they're hypnotized. Number two, age regression and progression phase. In order to do age regression, you need to have a somnambulistic client. So many therapists and hypnotists give up on age regression because they don't have success. And the reason they don't have success is they didn't get somnambulism. Phase three, the forgiveness of others phase, is where we go in and we start working on neutralizing some of these emotions. In age regression, we get rid of fears and misperceptions from the past. In phase three, the forgiveness of others phase, we start getting rid of anger, neutralizing it. And in phase four, forgiveness of others, of the self phase, we get rid of guilt. And then if we have this creature that we call secondary gain, we can go in with parts mediation and we can go in and neutralize that. What we do with 5-PATH is we look at hypnotherapy and hypnosis different than a lot of people do. And most programs of hypnosis, they look at the problem as being as a result of habit or programming or patterns. We acknowledge that that's going on also, but we look also at the emotional component. 5-PATH, 5-phase abreactive. Abreactive refers to the emotional part. Goes in and neutralizes that aspect and can make you much more successful. Whew, boy, I'm glad to get that off my chest.
Okay. So, when we're talking about how to make, hypnotism sessions more successful all the time, I'm gathering that you bring these 5 phases to the approach, you can't lose.
That's right. When we begin to move beyond pure direct suggestion hypnosis, and we begin to work with these deeper levels of hypnosis using convincers and insight techniques, we can be successful in ways we were never successful before. So I want everybody to kind of get this down. It's so important. You want to make every hypnosis session more successful? You want to get somnambulism. And on my website, hypnosiscenter.com, that's www.hypnosiscenter.com, go to the free section, just got free stuff on it, and click on articles and scroll down and you'll find a particular induction there. It's a modified version of the Elman, what I call the Elman Banyan, and that induction is going to take the vast majority of your clients into somnambulism. You want to get somnambulism because it's the most suggestible level of hypnosis. And then, once you've got someone in hypnosis, now here's a master technique. This is a master technique that a lot of people don't get. It's the idea of using convincers. Now, the few people out there that use convincers don't do it correctly. Now, a convincer is a test that the client is aware that you're having, that you're giving the client. If all you do is suddenly out of the blue give them a test, like maybe it's eye catalepsy or arm catalepsy, and you don't know that they're going to pass that test, then you're taking a big gamble. Here's the secret to doing convincers right. What you do is you get yourself an induction that is designed to take someone to somnambulism and then has a covert test. A covert test for somnambulism. That means that you know you're testing them, but the client doesn't. That's so important because if the client finds out that they've failed a test, it hurts their confidence. And when you have someone that's not confident, they're not going to do so well. So we want you to begin to use convincers. Do covert testing in somnambulism, and then do a test you know they're going to pass. Like, for example, eye lock or arm catalepsy. Those only take the lightest levels of hypnosis. So you can be very certain that they're going to be able to pass those tests. The next thing that you want to do to make your session so much more powerful is begin to use insight techniques. Techniques where suddenly the client gets an aha, an epiphany. When that happens, what happens is an insight has come in. Now they know something they didn't know before, and what happens is the subconscious mind makes a belief out of that. And once a belief is in the subconscious mind, the critical factor rejects everything that's inconsistent with that belief and lets everything in that is consistent with it, and so it becomes self-reinforcing. You don't have to continually reinforce the suggestion. So those are three things already in the call that you can do to make your sessions more successful. How's that, Eltham?
Rather good. Okay. And let's just repeat. The three things are?
Somnambulism, use convincers, and insight techniques.
Go right back to now to the somnambulism, and somebody on the call says to themselves, well, I don't think I can get all of my clients into the somnambulistic state. And you say?
I say, well, you might be right for you. You know, when I first started getting training, I was left thinking that if I couldn't get everybody in somnambulism in 3 minutes or 2 minutes, there was something wrong with me. But let me tell you what I learned. I learned that it is a dance. And that is, I'm in the lead position, my client is in the follow position. If I do things properly, like give a good pre-talk, and I also build rapport with the client, and then do a proper induction that's designed to take someone to somnambulism, you're going to be able to do it approaching 100% of the time. And I'm going to be able to go in that more detail in the actual class. And also on the website, there's articles on there about five paths, so you can read up a little bit more on it.
Describe, and I'm sure just about everyone on the call knows what we're talking about, but let's give a description of somnambulistic state.
I like to refer to the Harry-Aaron scale, and I do kind of a modified version of the Harry-Aaron scale, and the first level is hypnoidal, the second level is light hypnosis, the third level is medium hypnosis, then the fourth level I call the threshold of somnambulism. At the threshold of somnambulism, we need at least this level. A client is able to experience amnesia by suggestion and also hallucinate with his or her eyes closed. In level five, full somnambulism, the person is able to hallucinate with their eyes open and experience positive hallucinations. That means to see, taste, hear things that aren't actually there. And in level six, profound somnambulism, they can actually experience negative hallucinations, which is not see, hear, smell, taste, things that do exist. And why this is important is we want to begin to be able to use these insight techniques such as age regression. And a true age regression is a revivification, means a reliving. It's like the most real dream you've ever had. It's a hallucination. And so you need to be at that level so that you can have a true age regression.
No, okay, let's go right there, because earlier you said in order to be able to do age regression, you've got to bring them into somnambulism. So tell us a little bit more about that. And therefore, how to make age regression a normal part of our practice.
Well, everybody, if you've had the required NGH training, then you understand that the NGH recommends that you get additional training in age regression before you start doing age regression. Well, this is that additional training. If you manage to get to the five-path certification at the NGH convention, how to make age regression a part of your practice is to begin to use it with every client. Every problem that your client has a beginning. And it's going to be a lot easier to deal with if we go to the beginning to neutralize it rather than working with it now where people have compounded and reinforced the negative emotions and whatnot associated with the problem. So this is one of the great things about using a technique like Five Path. Age regression is phase two of Five Path. You become certified in Five Path, and you'll be using it all the time. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The people who master age regression are among the very best hypnotists and hypnotherapists in the world. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to start using it all the time. So get the training that the NGH recommends that you get, like taking a course like mine, and then start using it with everything, and Five Path will give you the structure to be able to do that.
And the reason age regression is so useful is
because it allows you to find the origin of the problem. Neutralize it at the source. That's the main two things. It's going to help you find the cause of the problem, and it's going to help you neutralize the cause. There's more to it than that, but that's the main two things. And the cause is usually a emotion like fear or a misperception that's generating the fear or other emotion. Could be sadness or guilt. But in either case, the emotion is usually either exaggerated or completely off base from a misperception of the child.
Can we quickly take a case study? Somebody that you've worked with that has this whatever and pick a presenting problem and share with us how these components worked with the specific client.
Oh, that's very easy. Let's say I have someone that comes in for weight loss, and she's been to other hypnotists, and she'd have temporary results but not have results that lasted. And what I would do is I'd put her in hypnosis, take her down to somnambulism, and then tell her that there's a feeling inside of her that has everything to do with why she came here today. And I'm going to follow that feeling back to its origin. And just recently, I was working with such a client, and as we had a couple of stops on the way back. We went back, she's like 47 years old. We went to 15, and then we went back a bit further to 10 and 8, and all the way back to 3 years old. And you know what? It's called the ISC, the initial sensitizing event. This little girl was just walking with her mom, and she stumbled over a piece of uneven cement in the sidewalk. She falls down. She starts to cry. And mother sticks a cookie in her mouth and says, "There, there. Now you'll feel better." And that started something, a belief in her mind. When I feel bad, I should eat to make myself feel better. And that became her tool through her entire life and wound up with a case of obesity that even after she had stomach surgery, she was unable to overcome. She gained the weight right back because life still has its ups and downs, still has its pain. But we're able to neutralize that, and then she was able to take back control and begin to lose weight.
Fantastic. Let's talk about how FivePath can make a hypnotist practice more profitable once they become certified as a FivePather. Is that what we call them, FivePathers?
That's kind of a name that's kind of a grassroots kind of thing. They're calling each other FivePathers. Yeah.
Okay.
What happens is, being an instructor myself and having taught hundreds now of new hypnotherapists, one of the problems that they have when they first start off is they're not confident. And if they've got to use a different tool every time they see a client, they never get to have confidence. So having FivePath will cause them to be more confident and more confident with a broader range of issues. And if you can see a broader range of issues with competency, then you're going to be more and more profitable. So this broader range of clients and being more successful with them is going to cause you to get more referrals for a broader range of clients. And it also, in addition to being a more profitable way to run your business, it's more interesting. I think I would go out of my mind if I worked with only one issue, if I just saw smokers day after day or weight loss. Now when I go into work, I look at my schedule, it's a plethora of different things that I'm able to work with and help those people with.
So when you talked about emotional baggage at one point, so how do you remove old emotional baggage? For instance, in this woman's case, who you took her back to being a child, is that emotional baggage that she had, or are we talking about something different?
That's right. I read a book. It was a lousy book, but it had a great title. The great title was, "It's Not What You're Eating, It's What's Eating You."
Okay.
And what was going on is she had this feeling inside her she didn't like. And in the hypnosis, I asked her, "Where is that feeling in your body?" Guess where it was? It was in her words, her gut. And what she was doing is feeding that feeling. Now, with these insight techniques that come with FivePath, what we're going to be able to do is find the emotion, find where it's located in the body, and then begin to neutralize it. And once we neutralize the emotion that they're either trying to distract themselves from or self-medicate themselves from, then that decreases the drive to do the old behavior. And what that's going to do then is going to cause them to be able to take back control. And so how we actually do that is, and for example, in age regression, we're going to take somebody back to the beginning. We're going to find out how it all started. Then what we're going to do is we're going to take them just before that, and we're going to verify that the problem doesn't exist. And then we say, okay, let's say I'm talking to someone who's 5 years old. Regress to five. I'll say, five? Just wait there. Now I'm talking to grown-up. I'll say, grown-up, it'd be nice if you knew then what you know now. Isn't that right? And they go, well, yes. I said, wouldn't it be nice if you could bring all of your knowledge, all of your wisdom back to that moment? Would you have liked to have handled it differently, or would you have felt differently about it? And they'll say, certainly. And then what we're going to do is we're going to use another very important technique, the informed child technique. We're going to go back to before it all started, tell that child what he or she needs so that she can get through that event without picking up the negative, the painful emotion or the misperception about herself or the world. And what's that going to do? It's going to clear out that emotion. It's like unplanting the seed that is a weed in your yard. You actually go back before the problem existed, neutralize the emotion, and then they can be free from it for life.
So in the case study we're talking about, the informed, what you just call the informed child process, does the informed child now understand that, okay, the cookie at that moment, I shouldn't keep doing that from now on?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to go before the little girl falls down and receives the cookie.
Ah.
Tell that little girl, we're going to say, okay, little one, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be walking with your mom down the street. You're going to fall down, and then mommy is going to try to make you feel better by eating a cookie. And that's a mistake. The eating the cookie is not really going to make your knee feel better. It's just, you're going to notice that just after a minute or two, it's going to feel better even if you don't eat the cookie. You see, we're going to give her the information so she can get through the event without picking up the misperception, you see?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, and I bet you've had some rather stubborn cases that maybe this was really important to use these techniques on. Can you share maybe one or two of those?
A particularly interesting technique was a case was a referral I had from a psychiatrist here in town. This individual had gone blind. It was a 15-year-old boy, and he had been to the counselor at school. He had been to the medical doctor. He had been to the neurologist, and everybody, they could find nothing wrong with him. So where does he wind up? The psychiatrist. During the time he was seeing the psychiatrist, he was continuing to go blind until he was blind. And then who are they going to call? They're going to call the witch doctor. I mean, the hypnotherapist, right?
Okay.
And it was these kinds of techniques that were able to bring back his vision where nothing else would.
Okay, first of all, how old is this boy?
He was 15 years old, and his vision had been declining over 6 months until he had no vision in his left eye and only a pinpoint at the center of his right eye where he could see some light.
Okay, let's go from there.
Eye path, we were able to regain his sight. Now, as I'm saying this, I want you to know there was nothing physically wrong with him. It was a psychosomatic illness.
Right.
His subconscious mind, working with his unconscious mind, was causing him to lose his sight. And just to give you an inkling of what that was about, he was an adoptee, and in school they started studying how to draw out a family tree. And he was very embarrassed about the fact that he was adopted. And through these insight techniques, we were able to give him back the good feelings about who he was and why he was adopted and this kind of thing, so that he could begin to look at his situation differently and begin to see a future that much more clearly and those kinds of things.
So these insight techniques, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to call them inside insight techniques, because that sounds so phenomenally important. Describe now what the boy suddenly found out. What was the new insight that he suddenly had? Was it the fact that he suddenly realized that the family tree that he'd been drawing, he was emotionally disabled by having to do that, by being embarrassed about it? Is that what happened?
Yes, and what we actually did, and what we can do is we can uncover the perceptions of the child and even the infant. Even though the infant would be unable to articulate the feelings about being, quote, rejected by his mother, when you're in regression, you're able to borrow the vocabulary of the adult, allowing the infant to articulate as best it can its feelings. And the child felt like a combination of things were going to go on. One, that it was going to die when it was being taken away from its mother, so there's a lot of fear in there. And then also that he was somehow not loved or being rejected by his mother, and that there was something wrong with him because actually his natural mother was it was either Chinese or Korean, and it was one of those Korean adoptees or Chinese adoptees. We have a lot of those in Minnesota. And he was able to go back and explain how his future was going to be so much more, such brighter, because he was going to a land called America. And he also, in his heart, once we got past the fear and everything, he decided that he wasn't being rejected, that actually his mother giving him up was an act of love in his own mind at the deepest level. He was able to give that information to the child, and it really was the beginning of him getting back his sight.
Wow. So this wasn't just feeling embarrassed about the fact he was adopted. This went all the way back to this extraordinary feeling, an extreme feeling of rejection way at the beginning.
Right. You see, there was emotions that today don't seem logical, but from the point of view of the infant did. First, there was the fear of death, that which then was compounded by the fear of rejection, and then the fear of the unknown, and then being in a new land where he was obviously different from others. And it was just all these different emotions that needed to be neutralized before his subconscious mind would settle down and allow him to see clearly.
And these techniques bring essentially, I guess we'll call them self-insight then, to the client.
Right.
Because you don't implant that. You don't say this is what happened. They figure this out through the five-path techniques.
That's right. This is the perspective of the five-path hypnotherapist is that most of what needs to be said, most of what needs to be known is inside our clients. And we take them through a process where that can be revealed and communicated between the different layers of the self, for example, the adult and the child. And that's what begins to clear things up. And that's why it's so easily accepted, and that's why those suggestions can become permanent.
Well, let's go right to them, because suggestions becoming permanent, often hypnotists need to do some repetition and reinforcement and things like that. How does that work with five-path?
But I've observed, and it's one of the most interesting and profound things that I've come to understand as a five-path practitioner myself, is that when you are able to bring an insight to a client from within themselves, then the subconscious mind must accept it. An insight, an epiphany, is immediate knowing or believing. And then once that happens, then the client goes into a hyper-suggestible state. It's more suggestible, I believe, than any other state of hypnosis for a specific kind of suggestion. For example, if the client has lived their whole life thinking, there's something wrong with me or I'm unlovable, and if I was just to give them direct suggestion, you know, you're perfect, you're lovable, that's going to be hard for them to accept. But if I go back and help them discover themselves when they were lovable and when there was nothing wrong with them and help them to identify that that's their real self, then that epiphany happens and now I can give them suggestions that are consistent with that epiphany or that insight, and that's going to cause them to accept those suggestions very easily. And when that insight occurs, I say it's kind of like all your life, your subconscious mind has these habits and beliefs and things in it, and they kind of congeal and harden into your personality. When you experience an insight in a hypnotherapeutic process like this, then what it does is the subconscious mind must accept it, and so it goes into a temporary fluid state. I want you to think about when you lay down a little block of concrete, like on your porch, it's all soft, you could write your name in it, and it would stay there forever, but once it's hard, it's difficult to change. That's the way our subconscious mind is. All our life, we're writing on that tabula rasa, that blank slate.
Right.
And then what happens is it's very difficult to change, but an insight technique causes that cement-like structure to go soft once again. We can smooth over those suggestions and beliefs from the past are not true, and then we can take our fingers, so to speak, and write in new beliefs like, I am good enough. There was nothing wrong with me. I'm as good as my sister or my brother or whatever the misperception of the child was, which became solidly embedded in the adult.
This then pretty much works, I guess, when just about everything else has failed.
That's right. One of the things I get a lot of is referrals from other hypnotherapists. They'll say, you know, I'm not getting anywhere with this one. Can you help this person out? Or even psychiatrists. I've even worked with people who failed at the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic's not that far from Minneapolis. And what happens is because of the emotional component that we look at and are able to deal with, we're able to get rid of the thing that is inside, the fear or the sadness or the loneliness that needs to be neutralized so that the person can get on with their life and stop doing what they've been doing or begin doing what they want to do or to begin to heal when no other process has ever been successful before.
Let's open up the lines and see if anybody has any questions for you. And also, I think we've got a couple of your students online as well. I'd like to let them in on this for a minute. So let me do this. And Roberta, are you online? Who is a student of Cal's, been a student of Cal's. You can star six yourself in if you're there. Are you there, Roberta?
Roberta.
Hi, Roberta.
Hello.
What I appreciate you're doing for the listeners who are online who have, you know, this five path is so new to them. First of all, how long ago did you take the training in five path?
2 years ago.
So you've had a chance to see how it's worked in building your practice and using it in your life and practice, I imagine, during that 2 years.
Absolutely. I've used five path exclusively in the 2 years that I've been in business. I'm now up to seeing about 150 clients, and that averages anywhere from 4 to 6 sessions. So I've done a lot of five path, and it is so profound what changes people can make, and it's an insight therapy, and what is so incredible to watch is how they realize the insight has come, the aha moment. They didn't realize that, wow, I didn't know that impacted me that much back then. And the change that they're able to make, let go of the anger, because so many of them have been carrying around fear, anger, guilt, and they don't even realize how much it's impacting their lives until they get rid of it. Oh. I've had one lady who came back and she said she thought she had the flu all week, and then she realized that what had happened was she had changed completely, a 360-degree change, that she had all this time that she didn't have before because her life was based in negativity before she went bypass.
Thanks so much for sharing. I'm going to remind everybody that's on the line, keep yourself muted out until it's time to come in, because as you can hear, there's a lot of ambient noise out there. No matter how quiet your house is, we get some of the other noises coming by. Sometimes they hear. Tina, are you there? Try to fix yourself in. Tina.
Yes, I'm here.
Tina, let me ask you the same question. In terms, and first of all, how long ago did you take the five-path training?
I took the advanced training for already certified hypnotists in February of 2004.
That's going to be like what they're going to be experiencing at the convention.
Say that again, Cal?
The advanced training is what they'll be getting at the convention.
Okay, so you took basically the training that Cal will be offering at the NGH convention. Tina, share with the listeners the impact it's made on your life and your practice.
Well, that learning the five-path process really made me a much better hypnotherapist because I didn't understand and I didn't have the confidence to be able to use the abilities that I had learned just in the certified hypnotherapist techniques that I had. So it was really important that I gain the confidence to be able to work with all the different kinds of clients that I see, the stop smokers and the weight loss people, and the five path really gave me the confidence that I needed to be able to market my service and to be a better therapist and have more success.
What was it about the five path training that delivered that confidence to you?
Well, Cal himself, for one thing, he's always there when, if you have a question, if you need him, he makes himself very available through all of his programs that he has as far as the online programs that he shares. You can call there and ask questions. I mean, and he also is doing an online training service right now, and that is very helpful. So, you know, Cal's always been there to help. You know, he shares all of his knowledge, and that's been very helpful for me.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing. Tom, are you there? And if you are, star six yourself in. Do we have Tom on, another Cal student?
I'm here.
Great. Tom, how long ago did you take the training?
I took the training in May 2005.
Okay, so fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
And in that short a period of time, has it made any difference at all in your practice?
It's made a tremendous difference in my practice. In fact, I was so impressed with the training that I got that I actually returned from Canada, British Columbia, down to Minneapolis to become part of Cal's intern program.
Ah. Tell us a little bit about that, because not everybody has an opportunity to do that, but that's kind of interesting how Cal has integrated that opportunity for graduates. What is as an intern, what do?
I do Fight Path.
Okay.
I do Fight Path. I am under the tutelage of what I consider to be one of the best hypnotherapists in the world, who makes it a practice of sharing what he knows and supporting the profession by allowing his students to become part of his business for a period of time to hone their skills to make sure that the people that are going out into the world to do Five Path have all the tools and the practice and the support that they need and can get to be the best.
That's a wonderful opportunity. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to go back to close line for just a moment because I want to ask Cal a couple more questions directly, and then we'll come back and open up the lines again for anyone that has questions. So we're going to go on another 5 or 10 minutes.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Cal,
yes, sir.
At the convention, and we're talking now about the special dates of August 15 to 17, which is Monday through Wednesday, that's sort of after the convention, so it's post-convention. You have 15, 16, 17, a three-day special training that's going to certify people in five paths. Let's just take a couple of minutes and help those who are interested know a little bit more about what's going to happen during that 3 days and what they're going to be able to do. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What they're going to be able to do on Thursday of that week. Well, actually, I can't pick Thursday because we're doing a 4-day as well. On Friday of that week. Let's start with the 3 days.
Okay. Well, the 3 days, they're going to eat, sleep, and drink advanced hypnosis. They're going to really get an understanding of this system and see how it applies to all the different kinds of issues that the clients could work in, walk into their office with. And then on the fourth day, if they choose to be the fourth day, we're going to spend the entire day of really applying the system to the different issues. So on the first 3 days, you're going to learn all about phase one. You're going to learn all about phase two, three, four, and five. You're going to watch a number of videos of me working with real clients as we do age regression and the parts therapy and the forgiveness therapy and really see these people change, see the results. And so I'm going to tell you what we do. I'm going to show you what I do. Then I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm going to answer questions. And so it's really 3 days of immersion in the process. The fourth day, we're going to really make all that information applicable. We're going to apply it to situation after situation after situation.
And that fourth day is an optional day, if I understand. Is that correct?
That's correct. The fourth day is optional. I know not everybody can be there for 4 days. The first 3 days will get you the certification. The fourth day is kind of the deluxe treatment where I'll have more time to answer questions instead of plowing through the material. And also, it's all those what ifs that people have. Well, what if this happens? What if this client walks in? I'm going to have a whole day to just talk about that so that people can leave the convention feeling confident about what they learned.
So when they get home on Friday, they're going to be able to apply this to their very next flow of clients?
That's right. And what we're going to provide is we're going to provide a manual that's about 200-300 pages. It's going to be a review of the basics in the manual. I'm going to spend just a few hours on that to get everybody up to speed. But you're going to have a manual of about 200 pages, which is the basic stuff, so you can review. And then another manual, the Level 2 manual, which is all the five paths. So if you ever have a question, you can run right back to that manual. And by the way, those manuals are NGH-approved textbooks. So you know that they're quality manuals. They're not just something someone threw away. The NGH has looked at those and said, we approve these as NGH textbooks.
Yeah, I should ask, for the benefit of those who are interested, what kind of background, what kind of experience do they need to have in order to be able to take this course in a meaningful way?
Be basically a certified hypnotherapist. You need to have those basic fundamentals. You should have hypnotized someone. But I'm not going to make a lot of assumptions here. I'm going to give you the first few hours of the class the information you need and some reading materials so you can get caught up. But anyone who's an NGH-certified hypnotherapist is just exactly right prepared to take this course.
Great. Well, we're certainly glad to have the five-path program as part of the convention, post-convention series. And quite a few people have already taken an interest and have begun signing up for it. So I wouldn't, for those who are on the call, if you're interested in this at all, I wouldn't wait too long before getting your space in the class. If this is what you want to do, so a real good opportunity.
We've had to leave some people out because we had closed the class because it was too full.
So this is you mean in the past?
In the past, we've still got room now, but in the
right.
past we've had it too full. We've had to tell the NGH to limit the size of the class.
Exactly. So this is a good time to get right on it if this is of interest to you. Let me open up the lines again, Cal. I'll take a few more minutes, if it's all right with you. There may be some folks that have a question they'd like to ask you. Hang on a minute. Anyone that has a question for Cal, this is a good time to ask or comment about 5PAM. Go ahead and star six yourself in and jump right in.
Hello. Cal, this is Susan Alder in Arizona.
Hi.
I'm getting married during convention this year, so I won't be there. So my question is, are you planning to offer this in Las Vegas in February?
We're still talking about when it will next be offered.
Uh-huh.
And we'll keep you posted from the NGH, and you keep yourself tuned to NGH, and you'll know. And by the way, congratulations on getting married.
Thank you. I've only waited 22 years for this one.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Go ahead. Jump in.
Somebody mentioned that you can begin online, start taking the class online.
I don't think that's the case. He has an online supervision class once you've become certified. Am I correct about that, Cal?
Right. Once you get certified, we have a number of different things we do to support the graduates. We have calls by phone. We answer emails. We also have a special email group set up for our graduates. And then we have a special buy subscription once a week meeting with me for 2 hours, and we talk and build skills together.
Okay, are there any videos to watch in between time? I also can't take the convention this year, but I'm very interested, so I just wanted to get started in some way.
Those may be available, and we'll make sure the information goes out.
Thank you. Any
other questions for Cal?
Cal, it's Miriam Goldstein. I don't know if you want me to mention about our class happening now if anyone can't go to convention or...
Say that again now?
Okay,
no problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say that without Cal's class, I wouldn't have a hypnosis practice. I took the class in 2004, and I would not be practicing now if it weren't for that.
Oh, tell me why.
Therapist before you took the class, right?
Yes. I was certified. I had a basic certification from someone in New York City and had practiced. Just saw two people, didn't feel confident. And after doing some research, was pointed towards Cal, and the reason being that he gave me a system, as he just mentioned,
yes,
to use, and the minute I finished his class, which was last June, I was able to come back here, and a week later, 2 weeks later, I was even doing age regression.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Cal, let's take just a couple more minutes and share with the group. You have such a phenomenally exploding business yourself in Minneapolis. We haven't got time to go through your five-point approach to building a business, which is so useful to all the five pathers, of course, and everyone you teach. But just sort of describe, people are always interested in how did hypnotists, first of all, become and get into the business. I'm going to cut everybody sound-wise just a minute. And briefly, how did you become a hypnotist? Why did you become a hypnotist?
Well, I hypnotized my first person back in 1976. I had an uncle that was a hypnotist. He was a lay hypnotist. It kind of got my interest going. But I was just kind of a hobby hypnotist for years. And then I went to school and I studied psychology, and I got my bachelor's degree and my master's degree in psychology. And I was really doing a lot of work with family therapy. And I was always in my mind kind of thinking, boy, if I could just hypnotize these people, I could get a lot more work done. And so then I went through an NGH-approved training program, and we moved from Grand Forks, North Dakota, where I lived, to Minneapolis. And it gave me the opportunity to just kind of start over. And we went right to work. We have an office in an L-shaped mall, which is a little bit different. So we got foot traffic right away. And I think I got certified in March of 96, and we started our business in July of 96, and we've just been working and working. In 99, I became a CI, a certified instructor, and then we just went crazy and just working like crazy and being an instructor as well as being a hypnotherapist together with 5PATH, another little thing called 7PATH, has just created a synergy that's caused us to have a business. We do anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000 worth of business every month. So, once you join in, become certified, we're really happy to teach you guys. In fact, that's one of my goals, is I want to find people who would like to be able to build these kind of centers. Because you start building these kind of centers, it's good for the profession. You can have internships where people can mature into the profession. It's just a great thing.
Yes. Well, really, thank you so much for the information you're sharing tonight. Hold on a minute. I'm going to open up again. We have time for about one more question if somebody has a burning question they'd like to ask Al. Right,
yes,
now.
My name's Elise from Hampton, Virginia.
Yes.
And I had a question of if he could explain a little bit more about forgiveness therapy.
Well, I think that, you know, I didn't talk a lot about forgiveness therapy. It's a little bit more complicated than age aggression. But I wrote an article a while back for the NGH called The 10 Keys to Forgiveness. I'm not sure if it's in the Hypnogram or if it's in the journal. But this is the deal. There's so many people out there smoking themselves to death, drinking themselves to death, and so on, because they've got anger inside themselves or they've got a feeling of guilt. And we need to go in and we need to neutralize those things. And, you know, because it's just, what we can do with forgiveness therapy is forgiveness of others, which is phase 3, neutralizes anger from the past. Phase 4 is a forgiveness of self. And that neutralizes anger at the self and feelings of guilt. We neutralize those feelings, and the person then goes into a state of calm and control. I go into this in much more detail in my book, The Secret Language of Feelings, available on the website, and it will be available at the convention. But in the workshop that we're going to do, I'm going to go step by step and explain why those feelings, anger, fear, guilt, cause our clients to have the problems that they have.
Thanks so very much. And thank you, Cal. Thanks, everybody that's on the line tonight. Let me remind you all to get your continuing education unit. You want to go to www.nghmember.com/CEU and answer the question about tonight's call. What was the most important thing you learned on tonight's call? And now we've hit beyond. We've gone in a whole hour, Cal. This is just so good.
I want to go 30 more seconds. I want to get a plug-in for some really great speakers at the convention.
Well, go ahead then.
You guys, you want some other good speakers. They're going to have post and pre-convention workshops. Sean Brookhouse, you're going to learn a lot and you're going to have a best time. It's going to be the best time you're going to have at the convention. Roy Hunter, the man knows what he's talking about. Look up his stuff. And Ron Esslinger, he is the king of pain management. And Will Horton, these are top-rated speakers. I feel very good about just recommending them. And if you get a chance, check those guys out too.
Wonderful. Let me open up the line. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And go ahead and star six yourself in and say thank you, Cal.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, Cal.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Cal.
All at once.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you, Cal.
Welcome. Especially you grads, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Cal, what was the name of that book again?
The Secret Language of Feeling.
Language of healing?
Feelings.
With an F.
Elson?
Yes.
Hi, this is Roberta. I just wanted to a quick comment. Anybody, this is the course to take. You will thank yourself a million times and those around you. This will change your life. I've gone through 5 paths personally, and it's changed my life. And your business will just grow in dynamics that you never even thought possible by using this method. And I just highly encourage everybody to consider taking it.
Thanks, Roberta, so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody, again. Good night for everybody. Good night now. Thank you, Cal.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for leading us onward.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
For the good times.